As I've suggested to you, I simply want to leave some thoughts with regard to this man, Apollos, before you. He was a man who came to Ephesus on the departure of Paul, and he came amongst the congregation here, and he began to preach amongst believers, as well, of course, as in the synagogue. The Bible describes him as a mighty man in the scriptures. And as today we reflect upon a ministry that has been conducted in this house through our brother, the Reverend Baker, as we also reflect upon what the ministry is to be about, and we trust that that will reaffirm what has taken place in the years past here, and also as we look forward, because as a congregation, that's what we ought to be doing. While today we recognise the ministry of our brother, and we thank God for that ministry, we must now, in essence, also look forward to days ahead. And I think that as we consider the man here called Apollos, we get a flavour, if you like, from his ministry of what the ministry of the gospel, the word of God, is all about. And while we, as a congregation, and I know I'm including myself, but I'm identifying with you in the fact that we're seeking under our presbytery to help you. But together, we trust that we will know the leading of God in times ahead. And this passage becomes very important because it's teaching us some things about what the Christian ministry is all about and what we should be expecting, as well as what we're going to be reflecting upon. Now, the first thing that I would leave with you is this, is let's speak a little bit about the appearing of Apollos. He seems to come, as it were, out of nowhere. If you look at the passage again, it says in verse 24, a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man, mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. Paul, of course, had been here. He had now moved on. He had travelled back to Caesarea and then to various other places. But we learn that as he was making his way through, this man, Ephesus, comes to Ephesus, the man called Apollos, and he begins to minister, as it were, where Paul is leaving off as he has moved on. So, I think we've got a little bit of a correlation here by way of looking at some history of the church here in London. Reverend Ferguson, of course, laboured here for many years, and his ministry concluded a number of years ago. And yet, God provided the congregation here with another ministry, a blessed ministry. And these things remind us that the Lord cares for his flock. He cares for his people in regard to how they are taught from the Word of God, in that he supplies men. And I know that under God, our brother has been the Lord's instrument for good in teaching you the Word of God, in bringing before you the things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And I trust that as you reflect on that, you will reflect with gladness that God ever brought our brother into the pulpit. In regard to our church, I do have to say, if our brother will not mind me being too personal, he was a little bit of an unknown in that he grew up in Lewes, so he didn't identify early years, that is, with the Free Presbyterian Church. But the Lord came into his life, saved him, called him into the ministry. He went through our college, and as he has done so, we have witnessed how the Lord has blessed them and used them, particularly here in London. And it's with thankfulness today that we come today to thank God for those years of ministry during which our brother has laboured in the Word. And we thank God for the appearing of our brother and the bringing of him to London to minister the Word of God. And let the congregation take heart in regard to this as well. The Lord provided a ministry for you here over these past years. He will do so again. And we trust that will be the case. Here in Ephesus, God brought to the fore this other man called Apollos, not just Paul. And then, if I could just leave a few more verses of counsel with you, because it's already been mentioned that we're not to get preoccupied with individuals. We're to remember that God brings men into his cause, into his work, to teach and preach the word of God. And we're going to say something of that in a moment. But just a little bit of counsel from the Epistle of Paul to the Corinthians. If you go back in chapter 18, you'll learn that that's where Paul was early on in the chapter. But if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, just a few verses there, and verses 5 to 8, you'll know that there were divisions in the church in Corinth, and the first epistle is really trying to correct many of those divisions. And one of the divisions that happened is that people in the congregation in Corinth started to get caught up with Paul, Apollos, there's his name again, this man we're considering, Peter. And you'll see it here in verse 3, where Paul calls this a carnal behavior. For he says in verse 3 of 1 Corinthians 3, "For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase." And so we're not to elevate individuals in the pulpit to the point where we say, well, we follow that man. No, we're to remember what God has done. God has provided these individuals to teach and preach the word. And if they have enjoyed any success, I include myself here, if we have enjoyed any success in the ministry, remember, who gave that success? The Lord gave it. Notice the words here. But God that giveth the increase. Verse 5, it says, even that the as the Lord gave to every man. And so, if there is a blessing upon the ministry, we remember that this blessing has come from God. God has provided it and God has given the increase. If you look there at chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God." So what are we to think of those who are in the pulpit? Thankful to God for them, that God provided individuals to teach and preach the word of God. Not to elevate them, but just simply to rejoice that God ever provided such men to teach and preach the word of God. And so as we think of Apollos, and in the context of what we read here, even in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, you'll see how applicable that is. Today, we thank God for a ministry in this house, that God ever supplied that ministry to teach and preach the word of God to you here. I want to also talk a little about the qualifications that this man had to teach and preach the word of God, looking back here at Acts 18 again. First of all, and again, these are some thoughts for the congregation. They're essential thoughts, if you like, because what we read of concerning Apollos here and the ministry that he conducted should be characteristic of all ministers of the gospel. It may be that the Lord chooses to bless some more than others. Some have greater gifts than others. But nonetheless, I think what we read here, there are certainly those things which are essentials in regard to Christian ministry. First of all, you will look here at verse 25, and it says, "A certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man." Now, I just want to stop there and just consider something here. An eloquent man. Now, we're not all C.H. Spurgeons. We're not all gifted with all the content of language, in whatever language that might be. But nonetheless, I think we can state right away here that the first characteristic of an individual who is to come and occupy a pulpit is he must be able to speak. He must be able to communicate. He must have that gift that God gives to be able to stand before a congregation and be able to communicate the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's a word of counsel here for us. I don't say this to dissuade anybody from preaching and teaching, but nonetheless, it is something which as congregations, as individuals, we should bear in mind, all are not able to do this. Some people need a lot of encouragement, and some people need to get over the shyness. I can remember the first time I ever preached. In fact, I hesitate to use the word preach. And I can remember standing and my knees were shaking and everything about me seemed to be about to collapse, both my thoughts inside. But nonetheless, the Lord gave help and the Lord gave grace. And if the Lord is touching your heart to speak for the Lord, and that's something that you have to get over, well, the Lord will give you grace and help. So let me encourage you in that way. But I do have to stress, nonetheless, that preaching involves being able to communicate, being able to speak. And yes, help from God is required and needed. But nonetheless, the Lord must have given you that gift. If the Lord is ever going to call you to preach, well, the Lord will clearly give you that gift. And therefore, it has to be said, this is not for every individual. Because every individual man is not given that ability to be able to communicate and to be able to speak. So I say that, that's a word of guidance. I know we've got people from different congregations and different backgrounds, but carry that with you, that thought. Just because an individual thinks they can speak, thinks they can get up before a congregation, that doesn't mean they're called. They must be able to communicate. They must be able to speak. So there's a very practical thought here. But let's get down to what are very, very particular aspects of Christian ministry. You will notice here that it says that this man was mighty in the Scriptures. And there you have the bedrock of what is a Christian ministry. What has our brother been doing here in this pulpit week after week? He's not been coming with stories. He's not been giving you little homilies upon life. And certainly I'm sure he's given you illustrations from life. But I'm quite certain you will agree with me when I say that his bedrock in this pulpit has been the Scriptures. That is, he is here and has been here to minister the Word of God. And this is something to reflect on even in the future when we come to think about what is the ministry about. The ministry has a bedrock. And that ministry is we are here not to communicate our own thoughts, not to ride our little hobby horses, as it were, but we're here to communicate what God says in his truth and word. Isn't it sad that many pulpits today are places where men get up and they despise the Bible? They set it aside. They ridicule it. They tell you it's only the word of man. And then they attempt, as they will say, to say, here's what I think God would be saying today. No, no. God has spoken to us, and he's spoken to us through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. This book is the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, his truth, his word to our heart. And so therefore, the basis of ministry, the bedrock of the ministry, is the scriptures of truth. Search the scriptures, the Lord Jesus Christ said. Why? In them ye think ye have eternal life. And here's a man. And what characterizes this man is that he is mighty in the scriptures. And that reminds me, therefore, or points me towards this thought. Here's a man who has a hunger. He has an appetite. He has a thirst for the word of God. And you can see that even in the passage, because there were elements of truth that he did not yet fully understand. What happened then? You will see there Priscilla and Aquila expounded unto him the way of the Lord more perfectly. That is, they realized, here's a man, he, as it were, has come out of almost nowhere in terms of the work of God. He's appeared upon the scene. There are things he has grasped, but there are other things he needs to grasp. Apollos came under the influence of Aquila and Priscilla, who had been under the influence of the teaching of the Apostle Paul, who, of course, in his ministry had communicated great things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's a man who drinks that in. His hunger, his thirst is for the things of Christ. A hunger and thirst to know more of the Word of God. That's what the ministry is to be about. It's not simply about a man taking the scriptures and communicating what is said in them, but his hunger and his thirst is for the word, that he might learn more, so that he might communicate it more. That's what the Christian ministry is to be about. I remember hearing a man comment upon ministers. Now, don't get me wrong, a minister should visit and a minister should identify with people. He should move in amongst them. But I remember an expression used that the man should be chained to his desk. Well, I don't mean he should be chained 24 hours a day or anything like that. But that is what's being communicated by that expression is that it is a reminder that a minister is one who is to hunger for the word of God, to read it, to study it. Why? So that he might communicate it, and he might be able to preach it, and he might be mighty in the scriptures, not for his glory, but for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that reminds me, therefore, that the subject of his examinations is continually the scripture and the person of which the scripture teaches. Do you notice the passage in verse 28? Yes, it's dealing with an occasion when he comes to Achaia and he's now preaching again in this region. But look at verse 28. He mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. So there you have the subject of Christian ministry. The subject of the ministry of the Word of God should always lead the minister in his studies and his preaching to the person of Christ. And he in turn should be pointing his congregation to the person of the Lord Jesus. Paul, whenever he spoke to the Corinthians, he said this: though it was a place that had great oratory, great knowledge, he said, I determined in coming among them to know nothing among you but Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I thank God that over these past years, that's the ministry that you've had, seeking to point you to the Lord Jesus Christ, to his redeeming work. And that's the ministry that you should continually expect and require as a congregation here in South Grove. Let me also say something about the spirituality of the ministry. Look at what it says again in the passage. Here we read of him boldly in the synagogue. Then let me read verse 27. When he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. And I want to just think about that idea of him mightily convincing. It has the idea of passion, not just knowledge, but passion in his soul. This is a man who is fervent, if you look at verse 25, being fervent in the Spirit. There are two things I want you to grasp here as we think about this passage, what it's teaching us about Christian ministry. It's teaching us about passion and fervency, but it's also teaching us about a spirituality that is going on in the minister's heart as he preaches and he teaches the Word of God. Sometimes it happens that a man appears to have great zeal. And yet whenever you begin to examine his heart and his soul and his knowledge, you realize that his knowledge is far too shallow. But there is a correlation between passion and spirituality. Passion is just not appearing to be active. It is passionate that comes from a deep spiritual understanding of who Jesus Christ is, that his truth is what really matters to the heart and soul, and the help of the Holy Ghost as he seeks to communicate the message of the Word of God. And I leave that thought with hearts here today. Preaching should never be dry. It should never feel empty. It should never seem as though the man is simply delivering an essay, as it were. Sometimes I do have to say, it may appear to some, the man seems to be, if you like, as far as his communication skills are concerned, a little bit dry. But I think even in those instances where there's a deep spirituality, you will detect that. You will detect in his heart and soul that he understands with great spirituality and passion who Jesus Christ is. The Spirit of God helping and enabling him. So don't assume that the help of the Holy Spirit of God is always going to be seen, as it were, in some physical way. The help of the Holy Ghost will be known as the word is communicated, settling upon the heart, and God by the Spirit fixing the word to our souls so that we understand it, we appreciate it, we embrace it, we receive it as it should be received. But this passage is telling us something about the spirituality and about the passion that there should be in the ministry of the Word of God. and you at least ought to expect from your minister a sense that he knows God, that he knows the enabling help of God, the Spirit of God coming upon the ministry of the Word of God and fixing it not only to his heart, but your heart as well. Deep fervency, deep spirituality, deep understanding of God and walking with God. These are some reflections in the passage on qualifications in a ministry. I want you to think a little about purposes in a ministry, because there's an end result. That's got at even in 1 Corinthians when Paul speaks of Apollos himself and he speaks about the Lord giving the increase. A ministry ought to have an increase because the ministry is there to do something. I think you can see it here in verse 28. It says here, he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. And if you look at the end of verse 27, keeping that in mind, it says there at the end of that verse, who when he was come. So here you have Apollos, and he's coming now into Achaia, and he's preaching and he's teaching. And what's the effect? Look at what it says. Help them much which had believed through grace. And you'll see that all of this is combined and it is attached to the whole thought of communicating Christ in the Word. Preaching, teaching of Christ and who he is, his great work of salvation which he accomplished upon the cross, and preaching and teaching the message of Jesus Christ and him crucified. And it says here, as he did this, he helped them much which had believed through grace. Remember how he was further taught by Aquila and Priscilla, who took him aside, taught him the way of God more perfectly. He gets up now in this other place and he begins to preach and he begins to teach. And what's the effect? There's an increase. People, God's people, were helped much which had believed through grace. Let me say a little about Christian ministry. There are many things that a Christian minister has to be, especially in these days. He has to visit. He has to take on a certain degree of responsibility for infrastructure. But you know, it's so easy for a minister to become immersed in what could be called office duties. In terms of infrastructure and looking after buildings and so forth. I remember when I was in Liverpool, I had an insurance man come to the building because there was a problem. And he told me of a minister. And he had told him, he said, I thought the Lord had called me to save souls. But he says, I've been called here to save the church. That is the building. There was so much damage. But it's so easy in Christian ministry to become immersed in that kind of thing. But let me stress something. The purpose of a minister, his greatest duty, above all the things that he must do, is to teach and preach, lift up the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, to remind God's people of who the Saviour is. He is the Saviour of our soul. He is the one who walks with us. He is the one who comforts us. He is the one who bears us up. He is the one to whom we are to constantly look for grace, to help in time of need. We're to be reassured over and over from the Word of God of what the Saviour has accomplished and wrought for our soul. So as believers, we become immersed in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, what a thought there is in that. How will you and I be helped as a child of God. Yes, it's wonderful when I heard it mentioned here. You've mentioned of an individual needing some physical help, and we encourage this. But how will we be helped most of all? We have to put arms and legs to help God's people. But the greatest help that we need is the help that the Word of God brings to our heart and to our soul. Our understanding of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what a minister is to be. Helping you and I understand more of the Word. I believe that has been the case in our brother's ministry here in this pulpit. As you look forward, this is the help that a future ministry will be to you. This is what you're to come to God's house for constantly, to hear the Word, to be helped through grace to see more and more of the Lord Jesus Christ. I trust our thoughts today, as we have looked into this passage, thinking of this man, as we have considered what Christian ministry is about, we will all the more thank God for the ministry that has been conducted here through our brother. That we will have even a greater appreciation for the ministry that is conducted week by week, and that we will look for this ministry, expect this kind of ministry in this pulpit. And I trust that as you do so, the Lord in due course will supply a man to stand in this pulpit and to communicate to you the things of the Word of God, lifting up the great subject of the book, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know Christ today? Are you saved? If you're not, we have a Savior. This world can't give you this. Without Christ, you have no hope beyond the grave. It is only Christ and his redeeming work upon the cross of Calvary that supplies eternal safety and refuge for your soul. You face eternal ruin and hell without Christ. But in Christ, you have eternal safety, refuge for the soul forevermore. You must repent of sin. And you must look to Christ, the sacrifice for sin, the one who shed his blood. Praise God. He alone saves. That's the Saviour we lift up to you today. Oh, that today you would know God's grace to look to Christ and come to know him as your Saviour.